Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. Since it's a new format, playing on WINB, that this word is now going out from, I want to tell the listeners on this shortwave radio station, if we don't complete the message within the allotted time, you can turn in or go to thegodschool.com on the internet and hear the rest of this message, as well as several hundred messages from the Word of God. Now, last week we began looking at Jesus through his prayer, found in John 17. If you didn't hear last week, go to thegodschool.com. But we're going to continue on. We finished last week at the 17th verse of this 17th chapter of John, which is the true Lord's Prayer. We'll pick it up again there. It says, sanctify, that is, separate them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we said that a synonym for this translation of the Greek word aletheia, translated here truth, is reality. God spoke and nothing became everything. Therefore, his word is more real than anything we might see, feel, or encounter. Now we pick it up from the 18th verse. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And he's speaking of his disciples. He says, and therefore, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The best explanations of God's word are found in God's word. This word, sanctify, has to do with commitment, but it also has to do with separation. Jesus says in this verse, and for their sake, I sanctify myself. If we go to the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Here's reality. It's expedient. It's good for you that I go away, that I separate myself, for if I go not away, the Comforter, that is, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, if I separate, I will send him to you. What about this Comforter? It says in the 26th verse of the 15th chapter, it says, But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. We have these movements in the church. Some call it charismatic, some call it Pentecostal. You know, here's a spirit that God, that proceeds from the Father, that Jesus said he would send. That spirit testifies of Jesus. Not all this other crap. He goes on and says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, which shall faith on me, not believe. It's not just an assent of the mind. It's to faith. That is to act based on what you believe. And it is sustained by confidence. So he's not just praying for his disciples, which are hearing this prayer, but he's praying for those who would come after. He's praying for those who would deliver his word. And he's praying for those who, having heard his word, who, having an ear to hear his word, might faith on him, for the scripture is clear, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's what we do at the God School. We present God's word, that faith might come and continue, if you will. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, Father, as thou, Father, in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I want you to see there's a condition here. It says that the world may believe. That's a possibility. To every man, God's word says, a measure of faith is given. He says earlier, in this prayer, in the 9th verse, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. We're looking at Jesus, folks. That parable that Jesus speaks of, in the 13th chapter of Matthew, it's found in the 44th verse. It says again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof, what? The treasure, the joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the field. What's the treasure? People who are trusting God, people who are faith in God. We who are faithful are the treasure. And Jesus gave everything he had that he might take the treasure out of the field. He gave his life. That they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect, that is, complete. The Thessalonians letter says that God will sanctify us wholly. Over there, it's not going to be made complete it while we are still in this flesh. But we have the promise of God. And that is our hope. And we continue on till he come again. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou lovest me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory, which thou hast given me. Even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, recognizes where glory comes from. It comes from the Father. Not his glory, that which the Father has given him. His honor comes from the Father. Our glory, our honor, if any, comes from the Father. It's not that which we have, it's that which we receive. By grace are ye saved, that is unmerited favor, that is not of yourselves. It is of a gift of God. I'm reminded of that passage in the Psalms. Wherein it says, in the 17th Psalm, in the 15th verse, David, a man after God's own heart, he says, he's got a lot to say, but he finishes this Psalm and it says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. God has a plan, folks. Before the worlds were formed, he chose out for himself, out from among those he did not choose, in Christ Jesus, now, you may be, and so many have looked for reasons for their faith. And unfortunately, many look to themselves to justify their faith, to justify their religious beliefs, and most of that winds up in self-righteousness. But I'm here to tell you that God has a plan. He did it for himself. He is God, and with God, nothing is impossible, and he will work his plan for his good. And the treasure that God did this for to gain is people who will trust him. Jesus goes on and he says, oh, righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I've known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And this is life eternal, Jesus starts out saying, that a man might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. He's repeating himself. But he puts an adjective between O and Father. And it's this word translated righteous. In the Greek, it's a derivative of DK. And when the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, done 200 years before Christ came into this world, which, when he came in, had become the authorized version, if you will, of the scriptures. Jesus read not from the Hebrew scriptures. He quotes from the Greek. The New Testament writers read not from the Hebrew scriptures. They read from the Greek, the Septuagint. And whenever you encounter in the Old Testament the word for righteousness, the word is tzedek, or a derivative thereof. And the essence of this word tzedek, Hebrew, Greek, dike, is keeping covenant. God is not only a covenant making, but a covenant keeping God. That's why this book is divided into Old Testament and New Testament. Old covenant and new covenant. And the testator is the one who has the last word. And God is a covenant keeper. I want to go back for a moment to the 24th verse. Jesus says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, will be with me where I am. I had a place marked and I'm having a tough time finding it, but I just found it, so stay with me. In the 25th verse of the 12th chapter of John, it says, He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. You know what this is saying? We have so many in today's so-called churches who speak of the great blessings that God has for you in this life, so much so that they turn the people's attention to the things of this life. When Jesus came, that we might have eternal life. He that loveth his life, that is all the things that this world can offer, that are pleasurable to the flesh. He that loveth that shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world. Read the the seventh chapter of Romans and Paul's great confession. And it was a now confession. Now, as he was writing that letter, not before his conversion on the Damascus Trail, but now. And he says, that which I would do, I find myself not doing, but that which I hate, I find myself doing. One of the characteristics of the Comforter, of the Holy Spirit, is the convincing or conviction of sin. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you the guy whose voice you're hearing is a sinner, being saved by grace, just as those of you who are hearing this voice are sinners, being saved by grace. Jesus goes on. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Synonym for glory. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee. The world does not see. In fact, I got to tell you, the vast majority of the church does not see the manifestation of God's righteousness in the earth. But Jesus says, I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. I have declared thy unto them thy name, and will declare that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. In the second chapter of the book of Colossians, it speaks of in the 27th verse, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, which he says previously had been hid throughout the ages, of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus says, thou hast loved me, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. This is an interesting word, love. You know, there are several Greek words for love. This word is agapowa. Agapowa. And the best translation I ever heard of this word was not willing to live without the object to which the love is being expressed. Think on that. And God will do His will. And He said that He, in John 3:16, that much bantied about verse, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should faith," not just, "Oh yeah, I went, you know, down to the altar and gave my life to Christ and went home and been living my life ever since just the way I want," not going down and being dipped in the baptistry and coming out and saying, Oh, I got saved today," and going on and living life without living it daily. With and in Christ by faith. That whosoever faitheth should not on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus Christ did not come into this world so that we could drive Cadillacs and have big swimming pools and do this, that, and the other thing that the world seeks after. He gave. God gave. Jesus gave everything He had that we might have eternal life with Him. And He ends this prayer that the love, not willing to live without Him wherewith Thou hast loved me, may be in them and I in them. And the Ephesian letter tells us that Christ, 3rd chapter, 17th verse, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, that is, not willing to live without Him. Now, these are astounding words. And many would call the one who prayed these prayers a good and a wise man. But Jesus talks about eternal life. He talks about life before the world was. If he were just a man, They would be the words of a nut or of the position he puts himself in, of an insane man, or they are the words of the Son of God. Jesus died a cursed death. For the scripture says that anyone who's hung on a tree is cursed. If that were the end of the story, we should just go on and live our lives. But it's not the end of the story, because the New Testament declares time after time after time after time that God raised him from the dead. The resurrection is the ground and the foundation of the Christian faith, often diluted by so-called prophets who are not prophets, so-called scholars who are not scholars, so-called theologians who, I don't know, God forbid that I ever become a theologian. But it is by the resurrection from the dead that our faith, God raised him from the dead. That's our hope, for the promise is that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken or give life to our mortal bodies. Oh, I thank God. For Jesus Christ, his Son, and the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, is the righteous. Shall live. By faith. That's not a righteousness of our own doing. It is a gift of God. Folks, we live by faith. We live by grabbing hold and acting upon the words of God, the great promises of God, the declarations of God, the hope we have in the promises of God, and we shall continue in this faith, in this journey, by his grace. and awe, glory and honor goes to God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. And that's the God School for today.